thunder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you in Jesus' name for this wonderful opportunity again to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can do. Minister to us through the text. Remind us afresh of your word to us, and then give us even greater revelation that we might only not only hear but practice these principles we shall learn of today for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said amen. God bless you. I'm preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I am asking that you would read with me, beginning, if you will, at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we shall commence reading at verse 4. This word charity is actually agape. It is love, but it is the highest reference to love. It is the God kind of love. And it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. When we look at this word today, I am inclined in my own spirit to ask you a question. And the question is, how deep is your love? How deep is your love? Part one, we dealt with the importance of love, and that was important for us to understand that verses 1-3 dealt with linguistic ability, it dealt with learning ability, and it dealt with laboring ability. And yet, in spite of all of those ability, the absence of love proved all of those things unprofitable. it was very clear that the importance of love must be both the root and foundation out of which you not only love, but you operate. And so as it relates to the Word of God, and we see that even if you are gifted in all of these different areas and arenas and do not have the agape love of God, then you will recognize that in the end, you profit nothing. But now I want to move to the interpretation of love, because from verse 4 through verse 8, we see something a little different, because there are things in the Word that help us to interpret love in a different way, to help us understand as we grow in the grace of God and understand both experientially and pragmatically how God loves us with an everlasting love, with a pure love, with a true love, with a love that is far beyond the human comprehension outside of the Spirit of God. It helps us to interpret His love in many ways, especially as it relates to the believers. So notice here again what the Word says as we walk back through verse 4. First, it says that charity, again, that is agape love, suffereth long. It is patient love. It is what's called passive love. And by that, I don't want anyone to understand passive as in nothingness, but passiveness as in the sense of not being in a hurry. It suffers long. It bears, it believes, it hopes and endures all things, as the seventh verse joins with this fourth verse shows us. Because one of the things that's real to every believer, they will recognize that with themselves alone, God has suffered long.
Yes, yes. All right.
You don't believe it? Let me ask you, how many of you are saved? Raise your hands if you're saved. All right, put them down. How many of you have sinned so many times since you've been saved you can't count them? If that's not suffering long, would you tell me what is? And so we miss the fact that God's love, that is long-suffering toward us, listen at this well now, should be a reality in us as it relates to that love being demonstrated to others. Isn't it amazing how we want God to suffer long with us, but we have short patience with other folk? I mean, sometimes just to mention a folk name sets us afire. And I'm not talking about with love, I'm talking about with heat. Makes us mad, get our blood boiling, hot all around the collar. Because we are not suffering long as demonstrated by the agape love. And so love passive is not in a hurry. Does, listen, suffer long for us. And it bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. But then notice again, verse 4 reveals something else, that this divine love, this agape love, is filled with kindness and is kind. Now that's not just love passive, but that's love in action. Because I want you to see this, it never acts rashly.
All right.
It's not inconsistent. It's not puffed up, nor is it proud. It is the kind of love that shows and demonstrates to us how God wants us.
For my way, you're the...
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Or call area code 225-774-8040, leaving your name, address, and order. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Hi.
ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy. Time and mercy.
So many times we feel lost because we've strayed away or somehow lost our way. And you feel that what you've done, you cannot recover from. But remember, the word says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Forgive me, O Lord. It's me again. Forgive me, O Lord. It's me again. I've disobeyed your word. I've slipped out of your will. Regretful I stand. Me again. Speak to your Father. Say it with me. Forgive me, O Lord. It's me again. Forgive me, O Lord. It's me again. I've disobeyed your word. I've slipped out of your will. Remorseful I stand. Again, I challenge you today to say it. Come on.
Forgive me, O Lord.
Oh.
It's me again.
Oh, oh, oh.
Forgive me, O Lord.
I've done it again.
It's me.
Slipped out of your will.
Regretful I stand.
It's me again. Oh, merciful God, we need you today.
Send your mercy
real sweet
down from glory. Lord, please.
Renew me. Fix me
again.
Oh, I dare you to say it with a sincere.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. As you are standing with the word, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Our threefold cord Christian couples ministry was in a retreat on this past weekend in New Orleans, and they were talking about a total quality marriage and how drawing close to God helps you grow close to each other. And we dealt with their theme verse at 7 a.m., Romans 8, 38 and 39 verses. But at this hour, I want to deal with Ephesians as led by the Spirit of the Lord. And I want to commence reading at verse 18. And it says of the fifth chapter of Ephesians, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Dealing with a total quality marriage. One of the reasons why people are joined together is to enhance what already exists. Marriage takes both love and life to a whole new level. Marriage must, however, especially covenant marriage, godly marriage, must have its root in the will of God. Make no mistake about it. The Bible says, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. But let me hasten to say, everything that's joined together, God didn't join it. It is clear, because God would never join darkness with light. He separated them. God would never join saved with unsaved. God would never join right with wrong. God would never join together those two persons who are diametrically opposite of one another and cannot enhance one another. But however, because he respects the institution of marriage, and you have made a choice to be with whoever you're with, God has sanctified it. And so therefore, just because now you found out that she or he ain't him or her, it doesn't give you no right to run down to the divorce court and say, I want a divorce. But it has happened, and it does happen, because as I stated this morning, we do not love with the love of God. If couples love each other as 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4 through 8 reveals, with that God kind of love, that would never be another divorce in the Christian world again. We don't know these things, and that's why the devil wreaks havoc in our relationships, in our marriage. I shared earlier, when a couple comes to me and they are in counseling, and we get to the part where we go over the vows, and the part is read where, especially to the young lady, to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, obey him. And she looks with that look on her face like, you kidding, I ain't got to say that part, do I? And I inevitably say to her, is there a problem? And I explained to the church earlier that if the woman has a problem obeying the man that is the head
of the relationship. He is the priest of that household. He is the one, like Adam, that God has given charge over that situation. If he's not the one who has your best interest, who loves you like Christ loved the church, then you've got a problem. You ought not be getting married now.
Amen.
Why would you have a problem obeying someone who loves you like Christ loved the church? Why would you have a problem obeying someone who would never disrespect you, do anything wrong, lead you wrong, who always has your best interest? Why would you have a problem doing that? Unless you know it's already messed up. Marriage is not a cure-all. You got people who are messed up now because they love the idea of being married. And so they rush into marriage with the wrong person, and then they realize that it was not all it was cracked up to be. Marriage is a joined union between believers, biblically speaking, that God has brought together for his glory and for their good. Now understand this, because if you're in a situation where you are already, again, at that point in place where you're married, you need to see, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I don't have time to go and deal with it. Please go through it. Look at verses 4 through 8. And if you follow them, I promise you, if you will take responsibility for your part, you won't have to worry. God will handle the rest. Now, I want to get here because there are some things that I want us to see in Ephesians here, because it deals with a qualitative marriage here. And first of all, it's saying, wherefore, verse 17, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see, unwise folk don't understand what God's will is. Here, it moves on. It's talking about godliness, etc., talking about the family and the structure and the church and all of that. But you've got to know what the will of God is in that arena as well. One of the things that it says, and I want to lift up in verse 18, the last word, but it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is where I want to begin, because if we are baptized and born again with the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God bears fruit. It is in the fruit that we understand that the Spirit is the root of all that we do. He is the root, he's the guide, he's the foundation, he's the structure. And so when we have him in our relationships, first of all in our life and then in our relationships, then he gives us guidelines, he gives us characteristics and traits of himself. And they are found, if you just back up to Galatians, the book right before Ephesians, and you want to see in chapter 5 some things that it says about him and his characteristics. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and the first fruit of the Spirit that's evidenced in your life and then in your relationship and then in your marriage is love. And if you couple that with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, you're going to see love, that strong foundation, again, that God kind of love, that is a real love, a rich love, a pure love, an everlasting love, is the very thing that's going to keep you together when your love gets weak. See, we love folk because of. And so when they act up, our love act up. But when we love folk in spite of, then regardless of how they act up, we still love them anyhow. Because Jesus says, love ye one another even as I have loved you. So that means because he's loved you with an agape love, when your eros love, that love between man and woman, seems to dissipate or seems to get weak, if you continue to love them with agape love, I promise you it'll get strong again. God's word is real. God's word is sure. God's word is right. I shared before with folks, you don't fall out of love. You fall out of focus. And when you fall out of focus, wherever you focus your attention, that's where your feelings. Feelings. Nothing more but. Oh, y'all know the song. I don't